Come on, come on. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. God is great and greatly to be praised. How awesome our God is. How wonderful our God is. And every time you breathe in and breathe out, you've got proof and evidence of the goodness and greatness of our God. Good morning, saints of God. What a blessed day it is to be amongst the living in the land of the dying, where our God has blessed us and prospered us once again to assemble together, either virtually or in the parking lot, to give God praise and give him glory. How privileged and blessed we are this morning to be able to celebrate God at a time like this. How great our God is. And we want to wish once again a happy Mother's Day to all mothers and to those who stand in the gap as mothers. We thank God for you. Come on, let's give God praise once again for our mothers, those who have given us life and nurtured, taken care of us, sacrificed. We thank God for mothers. And ladies, we greet you today and we salute you and all of your unspoken, unseen labor and sacrifice to make our lives much better. We thank God for all of you and to all of our ministers that are assembled here and all to our staff, official body of this ministry, and to all of you who are viewing with us virtually. Thank God for your presence today. It's such a great day to be just alive. Amen. I come to kill that assignment that the enemy is on, to make you think like it doesn't matter, to give God praise and give him honor. And you got to get beyond what people go say and how they go look at you and look all crazy. You just can't be a saint in the church building. You got to be a saint everywhere you go. You got to be a Christian, not just when people are watching, but when nobody's watching, you're still a child of the Most High God. And God is worthy way more than we show him that he is worthy. With our won't say amen, stuck up, sanctimonious self. But God is still worthy of all the praise. And we thank God for this day. Thank God for all of you. We're going to proceed. We know that this day brings about a lot of emotions, a lot of different thoughts. You're just trying to get it over with. And I understand that, but I want you to allow the Lord to minister to you today. And let the Lord help you today and help all of us that we might be better for him. Amen. Amen. We thank God for this day that God has blessed us. It has not been an easy week for any of us. But we thank God he has brought us to another opportunity to just celebrate his goodness. And I thank God for him just being God. Amen. 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 Glory to God. Amen. We look forward to as well, if you hadn't seen the announcement, we look forward to reopening and coming back to face-to-face worship on the first Sunday in the month of June. That's exciting news that we'll be coming back to worship. I can tell all over the parking lot how excited you are about being able to worship once again. I feel it oozing all over here to this podium, how excited you are about being back in worship again, face to face. And we thank God for that opportunity. It's been a long 13, 14 months, but God has blessed us every step of the way. And we have no sad story to tell. Amen. God bless you today. There is a word from the Lord we hope to share and encourage you with today. From the Gospel of St. Matthew, chapter number 15, very familiar passage of scripture. St. Matthew chapter 15, there the Holy Spirit has led us to share a word that we learned from good mothers today. And we see this story, familiar passage of this mother who did what was necessary to bring about a blessing. And we thank God for his word today. We find comfort in the word of God. St. Matthew chapter 15, verse number 21, your Bible should read somewhat like this. Then Jesus went thence and departed unto the coast of Tyre and Sidon. And behold, a woman of Canaan came out of the same coast and cried unto him, saying, Have mercy on me, O Lord, thou son of David. My daughter is grievously vexed with the devil. But he answered her not a word. And his disciples came and besought him, saying, Send her away, for she crieth after us. But he answered and said, I am not sent but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And then came she and worshipped him, saying, Lord, help me. But he answered and said, It is not meet to take the children's bread and cast it to dogs. And she said, Truth, Lord, yet the dogs eat of the crumbs which fall from the master's table. And then Jesus answered and said unto her, O woman, great is thy faith. Be it unto thee even as thou wilt. And her daughter was made whole from that very hour. The grass withers, the flowers fade thereof. But the word of our God shall last and stand forever. Amen. We want to tag this text this morning, Faith Finds a Way. Faith finds a way. God bless you today. Faith, real faith, genuine faith, finds a way. Ladies and gentlemen, you're not just going to have faith and never be in a position to use it. A lot of us talk the talk, but are not able to walk the walk. For faith is not something that you must talk about, but true faith must be lived. And I believe that God has allowed challenges to come to our life. God has allowed some circumstances to come to our life to see really just how bad do you want your deliverance? How bad do you want your blessing? How bad do you want the healing? How bad do you want to be set free? How bad do you want your home to be restored? God's word to us today is that real faith will find a way. In our familiar text today, we find this mother. And we thank God for mothers like this, for this mother is sacrificial. This mother is selfless. This mother is steadfast. And there's some true mamas who know what I'm talking about. If you're not one, you know of one who does whatever's necessary to make sure that their children are all right. You've seen mama be able to stretch nothing and make something come from it. Seen mama go without to make sure that we could have. Seen mama say no to herself so she could say yes to us. Thank God there are just some mothers who think more about us than they think about themselves. In our text this morning, we find Jesus having a context with this woman and a issue and a setting and a discourse with this woman who has faith beyond her own understanding. She has faith that's going to expose those who's supposed to have faith. We thank God that this woman is going to find faith that she should not even have. Because we thank God today that God will bless people and break his own rules to meet our very needs. Ladies and gentlemen, all I want to tell you this morning is that real faith will find a way. Sometimes you just can't wait on life to happen to you. You got to happen to life. Sometimes you can't wait on some things to take place because it's going to take you having enough faith to get up off your do-nothing and walk by faith and go and approach that what God has said for you to approach. All faith won't just come knocking at your door. Sometimes faith is going to cause you to have power to knock down the own door and bring it about for your family and for yourself. Faith has to find a way. And I want to talk this morning to some of us who are waiting on God. God's word to you is, I'm waiting on you. I've already opened the door. I've already given you the provision. I already made the way. But you got to get up and you got to trust me and get past your past. Get past what they're saying. Get past what they're doing. Get past what you see. Get past what you feel. I'm going to preach anyway. Get past what is going on and find a way to bring that blessing. In our text today, Jesus has spent the first 20 verses of chapter 15, arguing with Pharisees, arguing with Jews, church folk who know better but don't want to do any better. They're arguing with Jesus about what really matters and what defiles a man and what does not defile a man. You got people with dirty hearts But they're focusing on you having clean hands. That sounds a whole lot like the church today, who's more focused on people looking good externally, but don't care anything about folks internally. I'm tired of looking at people who are drying up and dying on the inside, but you look good on the outside. Here it is, Mother's Day, and some of us still want to be sad. God come to deliver you. God come to set you free, but you want to be in your feelings. You want to be sad. You want to be depressed. Can I insult you real quick and make you mad? You're not the first, and you will not be the last. If God is doing it for others, God will do it for you. He'll bring you through it. Because there's a lot of church folk who focus on looking good externally, but don't let the Lord work on them internally. And these Pharisees are arguing with Jesus. They're arguing with him about clean hands. Why don't your disciples wash their hands? And Jesus says, wash your heart. And by the time they got through, Jesus got so frustrated, he left them. Y'all missed that. He got so tired of dealing with folk who ain't trying to do any better, he left them. I'm going to try one more time because some of us in New Zion need to hear this, that God is listening to some of us who can do better and don't want to do no better. God forbid he walk away from us because he's trying to change us. He's trying to shape us, but we're trying to make him fit our own reality. Mm-hmm. So Jesus leaves now and goes to the region of Tyre and Sidon. He goes to Gentile country. He goes to Gentile territory. And if you've been to any kind of Sunday school or vacation Bible school, you know that Jews and Gentiles don't fool with each other. Jews and Gentiles got racial discrimination. They've got social discrimination. They've got spiritual discrimination. Jews and Gentiles just don't mix. Yet our Savior goes to Gentile country. And there, lo and behold, not long before Jesus gets there, here comes this woman down from the mountain. Who knows now? Because she is a Syrophoenician woman. She is a Canaanite woman, which means that they worship pagans. They worship idols. They worship whatever they wanted. They made their God. Our God made us. But they made their God. I'm going to try again. They're worshiping gods that they made. But I want to trust the God and worship a God who made me. Any God I got to worship that I got to make, I don't want that kind of God. I want a God that made me and knows all about me. Jesus comes into Tyre and Sidon. He comes into this Canaanite region, and here comes this woman, this Canaanite woman, running to Jesus. And that's where we pick up our text today. This woman who comes down, who knows where she been? I'm going to try again. Who knows where she come from? Who knows what she been doing? Who knows where she went Saturday night? Who knows where she was Sunday morning? But all we know is that Jesus passes by, and she runs to Jesus. Faith finds a way. Because we find out that this woman has a problem at the house. And faith finds a way, number one, through a personal approach. I said faith finds a way through a personal approach. This woman, who is a Canaanite, comes down and runs to Jesus. I'm going to try again because I don't think y'all hear me. This Canaanite woman, this Gentile woman, runs to Jesus. Bible says she comes down from where she was and runs to Jesus. See, the reason why you can't celebrate that is because some of y'all won't come down. You want the Lord to come up to you instead of you coming down off your high horse, coming down off your pride, come down off your arrogance, come down off doing it your way and coming to Jesus. Oh, Lord, help me today. Because some of us won't approach Jesus the way we should because he doesn't come on our turf. Because it doesn't come on our territory, and because it doesn't come on our terms. You want him to work your way. You want him to come your way, but the Lord, the Bible says, this woman comes to Jesus. Watch this now. Because this woman has every reason in the world why she shouldn't have. I just got through telling y'all, she's a Canaanite. She's Gentile. She's a pagan worshiper. Yet she sees Jesus. I'm going to try again. Isn't it interesting? How folk who don't know nothing about Bible study, know nothing about vacation Bible school, know nothing about Robert's rules, know nothing about motion in a second, know nothing about wearing a white darling, know nothing about wearing a black suit, don't know nothing about a Dr. Watts, nothing about Do-Re-Mi, nothing about three-part harmony, nothing about rules and regulations, don't know nothing about Lord's Supper, don't know about unleavened bread and wine, don't know nothing about church, don't know nothing about a pew, don't know nothing about a church covenant. Isn't it amazing that people who don't know nothing about the Lord want him better than the folks who do know, that can't nobody do him like him, that can't nobody make a way like him? Isn't it interesting? Isn't it interesting that it's folks right now watching us virtually who are shouting just because they got a chance? And some of y'all who claim y'all want to be on the parking lot, you want to be in fellowship, been up this thing for 45 minutes, ain't lifted your hands, ain't smiled, ain't said good morning. Isn't it interesting? Isn't it interesting how some folk want Jesus and others don't? Some folk who have him don't want him, and some folk who want him don't have him. Mm-hmm. Here's what I love about Jesus. He leaves folk who don't want him. And goes around folk who do. And Jesus is getting ready to break rules that he made. Because the Bible says that this Gentile woman runs down from where she was and runs to Jesus. We're told, clap your hands, everybody. Praise the Lord, saints. Say good morning, saints. This woman ain't need no praise team. This woman ain't need no worship leader. All she needs was enough hell in her life, and she has to realize it's got to be something better than what I'm living in right now. I might as well try this Jesus, because doing it my way ain't getting me nowhere. I wish I was talking to people who've been trying stuff their way for a long time, but you finally realize that you can't do this thing without the Lord. So you go come down off what people think, come down off your pride, come down off your arrogance, come down off your intellect, and come and run to the presence of the Almighty God. Here it is. It's a personal approach. Can I mess you up? Can I get in trouble? I'm already there. When I stood up, I was in trouble. Can I mess you up real quick? She didn't send the pastor. She didn't send a deacon. She didn't send her buddy. She said, I'm going by myself. I don't deserve him, but I'm going. I ain't been to church, but I'm going. I don't know nothing about him, but I'm going. Faith finds a way to get past what you think about yourself and what others are thinking about you. Here it is. She's a woman who has no business approaching Jesus. Yet, the hell at home is prompting her to say, I want something different. She's got a problem. This is a true mama. This woman says, I got a daughter at the house who is full of a demon. She's not just demon oppressed, she's demon possessed. It's hell in her house. And in order to get the hell out my house, I got to get the hell out of my house. I got to do something different. I got to look for something new. I got to take the change. I got to be the change agent to bring the devil out of my house. Do you notice? Do you notice she don't bring the daughter? She goes herself because the demon don't want to go, but I need God to give me power to get that demon out of there. Because she believes that Jesus has the power to change her house. It's a personal approach. She does not depend on other people to go for her. When's the last time you talked to God? You done told us to pray, and we agreed to pray, but when did you decide you gonna pray? Pray for me when you go pray. Help me when you gonna help yourself. Huh? It's a personal approach because her hell, her problem matches her praise. Y'all don't hear God today. I don't understand. And maybe it ain't for me to understand. I'm looking around this parking lot.
I'm looking spiritually. I'm looking virtually. And I know for a fact some of the hell y'all been through. I know some of the storms God brought you out of. And how can you sit here like God ain't made that way? Like God didn't heal you. Like God didn't restore you. You got your arm folded. You hiding behind a steering wheel. And he delivered you. Because your praise don't match your problem. But you had no problem hollering when you was hurting. But you can't holler when you healed. It's personal. Because I can't make you praise. Praise is based on what you know about your God. Worship is what you know about your God. I can't make you praise. You can't manufacture praise. You can't be no copycat in church. That thing got to be about you and God. Because to bless the Lord means to eulogize him. Eulogio, eulogize him, means to speak well of. And the problem is, you can't speak about a God you don't know. That's why when you do a funeral, you can only eulogize folk you know. Otherwise, you got to give them an oration. But when it's somebody you know, you have no problem speaking well of. And I can tell the reason I ain't getting mad no more, preachers. We ain't getting mad no more, praise team, because when people don't praise, when people don't lift their hand, won't join you in worship, it ain't that they mad at you, they don't know him. And you got to stop getting mad at folk who don't know him. It's a personal approach. She finds a way, and she falls down to him and says, Son of David, have mercy on me. Wait a minute. She said, let me go back to my Bible. Y'all ain't reading it right. She says, oh Lord, thou son of David, my daughter, have mercy on me. My daughter is grievously vexed with the devil. Son of David is a title that points to Jesus as the Messiah. I'm going to try again. Son of David is a title that points to Jesus being the Jewish Messiah. But you heard me in my intro tell you that this woman is Canaanite. She's Gentile. What business does she have using Jewish language and she's a Gentile? I'm going to try again, y'all. I lost y'all. It's the picture of folk who don't know nothing about church, but they know more about Jesus than the folk who are in the church. Because she says that son of David, Messiah, because I know them Jews know you as the Messiah, have mercy on me. She uses Jewish stuff to try to get in there. Some of us use church language. Oh, Lord, have mercy. You try to speak in tongue and ain't got no spirit. You try to read books and don't have no knowledge. You try to copycat what you saw on TV, but you don't know for yourself. You use what you think works for others. And you're hung up now because you're using stuff you heard somebody else use. You're saying hallelujah and don't know what it means. Watch this. We got some kids that play sports. And I caught them before a basketball game, one or two of them. I caught them before the game doing this. I caught several of them. I say, what are you doing? That's my prayer. I say, who you praying to? That's my prayer to God. I say, do you know what that means, what you're doing? No, sir. Do you know what you just pointed to and did? Do you know what that? Now, are you Catholic? No, sir, I don't even know what that is. Are you Baptist? I don't even know what that is. So where you get this from with this prayer and you don't know where you got it from? I saw him on TV do it. Are you Catholic? No. Okay, so you don't understand where you got it from. Do you know what you just pointed to? Do you know what you just made with your hand? No. See, it looked like a cross, don't it? Yeah. So connect the dots between a cross and Jesus. I don't know. And how can you pray to a Jesus and you don't even know what he did for you. And before we laugh at them kids, we ought to look at ourselves, because some of us are in church doing stuff and don't know why we're doing it, don't know who we're doing it for, and don't know what we're doing. You're doing it because you saw somebody else. And this woman uses a language that she thinks works. She think it works to say son of David. That's impressive to say son of David. Ma'am, you ain't even Jewish yourself. And watch this, though. Watch this. Jesus didn't say anything. He didn't even respond. Lord have mercy. Can you still stay in the game and Jesus don't even respond when you think he should? Come on, come on. I'm not talking about real faith. I'm not talking about when you name it, claim it, blab it and grab it, call it and haul it. I'm talking about when you ask God and he don't say nothing back to you. Perhaps he's letting her learn more about him because he knows all he need to know about her. May I suggest that many of us have gotten out the game too quick because we didn't get the answer that we wanted. Here's what faith is trying to teach us. This is what God wants to teach us. It's not about you getting what you want. It's about you learning more about me. And sometime I got to tell you no or just don't talk to you at all so you can learn more about me and what this thing is really all about. Because if I give you what you want every time you want it, you won't have me. A faith that gets its way is not real faith. And some of us are pouting with God today because we're not getting our way. Here it is. Faith teaches you about his will and not your way. And the reason you couldn't hardly say amen on that is because most of us have not been through that like we should. Because faith has nothing to do with our way, but about his will. Jesus himself says, Father, if it be possible, take this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but your will be done. That's faith. Most of us say, Father, take this cup from me. Please take this cup from me. Take this cup from me. Lord, please get this cup. I said, come get this cup. I ain't moving till you get this cup. I won't praise till you get this cup. I won't give until you take this cup. I won't live until you take this cup. I won't smile till you take this cup. That's not faith that has to meet your requirements. So faith, ladies and gentlemen, changes you. And it may not change your situation. Watch this, though. Jesus says nothing. She takes a personal approach because she's wanting to find a way. She's got it on her mind, I want my baby healed. I want my baby delivered. See, watch this. When you start putting your mind on the right stuff, you can be more focused with your faith. But when you got your mind on stupid stuff, you'll never have the right focus. Watch this. It's a personal approach, but then watch this. It's a persistent appeal. Faith finds ways. It finds a way through a persistent appeal. Watch this. She prays and asks the Lord to heal and deliver. First, she asks for mercy. And she says, Lord, my child is at home with a devil in him. Now, wait a minute. And if a child got a devil in him, that means there's more stuff coming from that child. Wait a minute. See, I want to mess up some of us real quick about our house. The problem ain't her behavior in school. The problem is the spirit in her that's causing that behavior at school. The problem ain't that he just don't want to work. The problem is the spirit in him that don't think he need to go to work. And so you can't handle spirits physically. I'm preaching better than y'all saying amen. You can't handle spiritual stuff naturally. Ain't no self-help book that go help you with demons. And you got to realize and acknowledge the fact that you got some demons in your house that's now manifesting themselves with this behavior, with these attitudes. Sometimes it ain't them. It's that spirit. Oh, Lord. It's some stuff put in them. And until you deal with the spirit, you're going to keep catching hell. It may not, you can beat them. They just do something else. You can make him sleep on the couch. It's going to still be something else. Ooh, I'm in trouble now. Because you got to have a persistent appeal. Watch this. She prays and says, Lord, my child's at home with a demon and is causing havoc and hell in my home. My house, my peace, my sanity is being affected because my child got the devil in him. Now, nowhere in the text, here's your shout, if you had one in you. Nowhere in the text do we see how the baby got the devil in him. Because most time, if you pinpoint what's wrong with children, you can look real quick to who had them. And we don't be wanting to deal with it until it got out of hand. Now, just because you had a different behavior don't mean you had a different demon. I better move on. The rain coming. Y'all done shut down. Let me go and get through with this. But if you look at what's wrong with that baby, thank God, God don't bring up your dirt. He just wants to bring your deliverance. And I wish you had enough praise in you right now to thank God he don't bring up your dirt. He just wants to deliver. She prays persistently. She stays, and Jesus don't say nothing, and she stays. Wait a minute. She stayed in prayer, and the Lord didn't say nothing back, which looks like rejection. Feels like rejection because nobody wants to be talked to and ignored. And she got ignored but stayed. Because her faith, watch this, get in trouble on Mother's Day. Her faith is bigger than her feelings. And I long for the day, child, preach by myself, when we start living more by faith and not by my feelings. The church is divided and at odds because we're living by our feelings and not by faith. That's why you can feel, Shirley Caesar, like praising him. That's why you feel like showing up. That's why you feel like reading, feel like praying, feel like singing. Because it's based on your feelings and not your faith. Tell the truth to yourself today. This ain't got nothing to do with your faith. It's about your feelings. And God does not seem fair right now. Because good as you been, he ain't saying nothing back to you. And then you messed it. Watch this. Can I get in your business? You done looked at somebody else, and it seemed like they getting what you asked for. I said I'm going to be nosy real quick. It's somebody you see getting the very thing you asked God for, and you and your feelings. How they got healed? When mine coming? When I'm going to get my breakthrough? When my time, when my ship go pass by? When will my time come? It seems like every time I ask, I get nothing. But when they don't even halfway love God and they keep being happy and got the very thing, it's like God's throwing it up in my face. It takes real faith to stay with a God you don't understand. Because true faith is being able to trust God when you can't trace God. I don't know where you're going, but I'm going to follow you. I don't know what you're doing with me, but I'm going to follow you. I'm in unknown territory. I'm going to still be with you. I'm going to go out of my comfort zone and trust the Lord. Here it is. She's a persistent appeal. So she said, Jesus don't say nothing. So now the disciples get an attitude because she's making noise. I'm going to try again. This appeal is not just private now. It's starting to be public. She's coming in front of other people and telling her business and saying that I need the Lord to move in my situation. And disciples are starting to get irritated. They're literally saying this, man, will you give her something? so she'll shut up? Will you do something for this lady so she'll leave us alone? Will you do something for her? I'm in the Bible. I'm in the text. Look at it. He answered her, not a word. His disciples came and besought him, saying, send her away, for she crieth after us. Now, help yourself real quick, church. Disciples, ain't nobody studying y'all. Oh, you thought people come to church for you. Oh, that's what it is. You think people come to look cute for you. Oh, you think you're that significant and special that people will go come to church for you. They dress for you. They sing for you. They preach. Oh, okay. Thank you, Lord, for a pneumatological facsimile. And let me know what's wrong with us. We think this thing is about us. And we have the nerve to pray. Here she is praying about a problem, and here they are praying about the woman. Ooh. So you got a church that they don't want to accord. Because everybody ain't come for the same reason. She came to see Jesus. They think she came to see them. And now that she done got on their nerves, they want him to give her what she wants so she'll leave us alone, because she's starting to annoy us. And real prayer, real praise, real worship, real faith annoys people who don't do it. People who say don't take all that, they say that because they don't do that. Why are they cutting up, acting a fool with all that? That's because it ain't in you to do that. And it gets on your nerves to see people happy and praising God because you want to sit and not praise God. And it annoys you. Some of y'all are mad at the horns. Oh, they wreck it, Ryan. Now, come on now. All right now. That's too much noise. That's too much noise. I'll be glad when they get through singing. I'll be glad he get through preaching, because the more he do that, the more they honk, 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 honk. And them horns getting on your nerves. Now, you got to stop getting mad because you got one and won't use it. Stop getting mad at folk who know what one is like and using it, because you got instruments of praise that you won't use. You got a mouth, you won't tell them thank you. Got hands, won't clap them. Got feet, won't dance. Stop getting mad at folk who use their instruments of praise. Now, if your favorite blues singer, what's these boys y'all run behind, what their name is? Jeter, who else? Pokey Bear, Big Pokey Bear, Huggy Bear, any of them come and get to run around, there you go. With the same feet you won't praise God with Sunday morning. But it annoys you to see people praise God. You worship and praise people on a stage, and God gave them that talent. But Sunday morning you won't worship a God who gave them the talent that you worship it. You come to church for free. You pay $20 to go see them. Stop getting mad and annoyed by people who make more noise than you. Problem is, if they keep making noise, they're going to be noticed. And you got a problem with people who may take everybody's eyes off you. Because you came to be cute, but you won't make no noise. And somebody who don't look, who look crusty, gonna make some noise. It's a persistent appeal. Because now, watch this. They tell her, tell Jesus, man, move this girl on. Give her what she wants. Give her something so she'll leave us alone. She'll run it after us. Jesus says, look, he's talking to them. I'm not sent but to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Now, this is what I love about this sister. Because she keeps her faith and hear them talking about her. Can you stay with a church that'll talk about you like you're not even there? They talking about her and she's standing right there. Most of us, I'm out. Because if you ain't gonna help me, don't talk about me. Now just send me on my way, but I ain't finna listen to y'all talk about me. Thanks be to God. Thanks be to God. She says, I didn't come for them. So I'm blocking out the noise. Because now if I came for them, I would be messed up. If I came for them, I could take the rejection. If I came for them, I'd leave. Thanks be to God, I don't come for them. Because their faces change. Their friendship shifts. One minute they fool with me, one minute they don't. But thanks be to God, I got a faith that caused me to go beyond their faces, their disposition, how they treat me. I came for Jesus. Ain't this good, y'all? I love people like this who can teach me real faith. Because I got to get past folk faith. People got body language to tell you everything they want to know about you. When they fooling with you, you can tell. When they happy with you, you can tell. When they all right with you, you can tell. When they bypass you, you can tell. When they trying to avoid you, you can tell. When they don't want to deal with you no more, you can tell. And you got to play crazy. Like you don't know what they saying. Here's how you stay with it. Remember what you came for. And remember who. And stop getting mad at people who got a different focus. Because all y'all can talk about is my business. You ain't about God's business. And stop getting mad at people in the same house but didn't come for the right stuff. Persistent appeal. She kept praying and looked like a fool to them. She kept praying and didn't look like an idiot to them. They talked about her. She kept on praying. Can I prove it to you? Bible says she started out saying, son of David. That didn't work because she wasn't really Jewish. She just thought that would work. That didn't work. They talking about her. She kept on praying. Bible says now, look in verse number 25, then she came and worshiped. I'm going to try one more time. Try one more time. She started out coming to him, asking, son of David, have mercy on me. My child got a devil at the house. Jesus don't say nothing to her. I'm just giving you the story. Jesus don't say nothing back to her. Other people, instead of talking to her, they start talking about her. Disciples say she's making noise. She look crazy, sound crazy, is crazy. Let's get rid of her. Because she don't look like us as the church. She came to your church for help, and you based it on what she sound like. All right? So now she hear them talking, but she remembers the hell at home and with the help she needs, and she goes to Jesus now and worships him. Who am I talking? The reason why you lost right there is because you don't know how to worship Jesus apart from feelings. Did you know that you can be brokenhearted and still worship? Did you know you can be laid off, fired, and still worship? Did you know you can be broke, busted, and disgusted, and still worship? That it's not just happy people that worship. It's not just the healthy people that worship. Even broke down people can still worship. What's your excuse for not worshiping? And you got every reason not to, but you got one good reason to worship him, because he's God. Look in the text. She says, Lord. You missed it now. Before, she was being fake. Son of David. But when she's walking by faith, she just says simply, Lord. You may not be my son of David, but you are my Lord, because I'm putting my life in your hands. I'm putting my situation in your hands. I need you to help me, Lord. So then, we see a persistent appeal. Now let's look at a powerful acknowledgement. When faith finds a way, it brings about a powerful acknowledgement, because Jesus now speaks to her. He ignores her, and now he seems to reject her. Watch this. Jesus says, I need you to help me. I need you to move. He says, it's not meet to take the children's bread and cast it to dogs. Man, I done been here all this time, praying, worshiping, getting close to you, and don't know you, and you reject me like this. You gotta stop taking everything that sounds like rejection as rejection, because some no's are development. It's to show you how bad you want it. Watch this. It's not meat to take the children's crumb, the children of Israel, who are Jews, and give it to you as a dog. Dog. The Savior of the world calling you a dog. Now, the reason why you kind of in your feelings on that is because you don't know the real meaning of dog. Because, see, normally when we, in this culture, when you call a female a dog, it's another name. It's in a negative connotation. It's in some evil, like a scavenger, wolf-like canine dog, who are filthy dog, because the church, historically, Jews considered Gentiles as dogs, as filthy dogs. That's not what Jesus is calling her. There's another definition of dog. It's from the Greek word kunarion. Kunarion means a house dog. Like a pet. I'm going to try again. They hearing, she hears based on how she's been treated. When you hear the word dog, it means like some scavenger, stray, evil, nasty, filthy dog, as the church has historically treated you like. But the Savior shows up and does not call you that. He calls you a house pet. You a pet dog, not a stray dog. It's not meat to give bread to dogs and not give it to the children. Here's where the powerful acknowledgement comes in at. Because she knows who she is. But then says, yes, Lord. Go back in your Bible. So y'all think I make this stuff up. I'm in the text. Go back with me. She says, truth, Lord. Yet the dogs eat of the crumbs which falls from the master's table. Now, let me get done. I'm not the smartest man in the world. But last time I checked, you can't eat from a table, crumbs or not, if you're not in the house. Try again. My church acts so slow sometimes. You can't eat from a table, whether it's on the floor or on a table, unless you're in a house. You've got to be in the house to be able to get a crumb. Watch this. The woman, her faith has got her in the house. And as long as I'm in the house, I got a chance. Truth, Lord. You tell the truth. I don't deserve the whole loaf. And I didn't never ask you for the whole loaf. I'm happy with the crumb anything you give me, because a crumb is more as much as I deserve. I realize the sin in me. I realize the problems in me because I have not always been with you. So I never asked you for a loaf. All I'm asking you for is to give me what's left over, because I'm in the house. And see, the reason I wish right there, that's a good praise cue, but if you don't understand you in the house, you'll never appreciate it. You'll not be real with yourself. This woman is acknowledging herself as a dog. I'm not a part of the family like I should be, yet I'm growing because I'm in the house. And if I stay with you, I'll be at the table where I'm supposed to be. But how dare you, get in trouble, how dare you ask for a loaf and you ain't in the house? She acknowledges herself and knows I don't have that much faith, but I got enough to get in the house. I wish I had some folk who knew that you done got in by faith, and you know you don't deserve what you have, but the faith put you where you are, and thanks be to God, I'm in the house. I can tell some of us don't get that, because I don't have to be the president to be in the house. I ain't got to be the leader to be in the house. I ain't got to be in charge to be in the house. I'm grateful just to be in the house. She says, truth. Yet the dog eats the crumbs which fall from the master's table. Jesus says to her, woman, great is your faith. Your faith found you a way, which now leads to a providential approval. Faith brought her to the point from this personal approach to providential approval, meaning that it only had to come from the hands of God. There are some things where the people don't approve of you has nothing to do with God's approval of you. Somebody should have said amen on that, because people will look down on you, look crazy at you, but the Lord approves you and will meet your very need. Great is your faith. And the Bible says her daughter was made whole from that very hour, which brought about her receiving that which she wanted to receive. Ladies and gentlemen, it's interesting in this particular passage. In the book of Matthew, only two times Jesus spoke of a great faith was this woman here and of the Roman centurion in chapter number 8. Isn't it interesting that the people with the greatest faith didn't have the most church? Maybe you need to bump your head some more so you'll learn real faith. Maybe you'll need to be rejected, because obviously we take for granted being in the house. And our faith is not great because we know our Father is great. But how amazing would it be if we had great faith to go with our great Father? This text tells us, because both of these two miracles, with the Roman centurion and with this woman with the demoniac child, both of these were miracles that were given from a distance. With the Roman centurion, he healed the servant from a distance. He didn't have to be right there to bring about the miracle. With this woman who prayed for a child, he didn't have to be right there at the house. He spoke it, and it came to pass. He specializes at bringing miracles from a distance. Unless you can't understand that, some 2,000 years ago, your and our miracle was handled from a distance. On a cross called Calvary, it was taken care of from a distance. We were once enemies of God, but now we're reconciled to God. And from a distance, he healed me. He saved me. And by his stripes, I am healed. Faith finds a way. All for Jesus to you now. All for Jesus. Thank you, Lord. All for Jesus. Come back, baptism, letter, Christian experience. Whatever your need, when you come to Christ today. Faith finds a way. Thank God for mothers, fathers who found a way. Inboxes, if you want to be saved, you want to be in the family of God, you realize you're not in the house. And today you want to be in the house. Won't you come today? Glory to God. Amen. Bless the Lord with me. Bless the Lord with me. Come on, let's give God a praise. Glory to God. Glory to God. Amen. At this time, we're preparing our hearts to give as we prepare to dismiss and close this worship encounter. We ask now that you will give. If you're here, you can give on your way out. If not, you can give virtually. I think our office will be here for several minutes after our worship today, but you can also give virtually to our Cash App, $1906, or you can mail it in, P.O. Box 893. But we invite and encourage you all to give unto the Lord and sow into the kingdom of God. If you believe this is good ground, you ought to sow into it. If you believe it's good ground, not just with your amens, but with our dollars and cents and everything else, with our resources as well, that we sow into the kingdom, that we might do that what God's equipped us to do. Amen? Amen. We thank God for this day. Thank God for God allowing the weather to hold off, that we were able to have this worship experience. We thank God for that. We thank God once again for all mothers, all of you. Thank God for you. Hope you have a wonderful day with family, reflecting, and giving God praise for how good he has been to all of us. Amen. We thank God for you. We look forward to sharing with you throughout the week. Stay tuned to various announcements we'll have concerning our reopening services. And we're looking forward to that day when God will bring us back in together in a couple of weeks. And we're excited about that as well. We pray that God will bless you, that God will keep you, and you have a wonderful week. Continue to stay safe. Remember, our vision at the New Zion Missionary Baptist Church is to reach up, to reach out, and to reach in. God bless you. Have a wonderful day.
We hope Pastor Ham's message blessed you, and if you'd like a copy of this CD, please send a donation and a self-addressed envelope to P.O. Box 893, Winfield, Louisiana, 71483, or join us at our regular services at 405 West Jones Street, Winfield, Louisiana, Sundays 8 o'clock a.m. and 11 o'clock a.m. Communion, first Sunday of each month, 6 o'clock midweek service, and senior missions and patrons meetings, 6 o'clock Thursday, Sunday school and teachers meeting. God bless you and keep you. May he lift up your countenance and give you peace until we meet again.
What will people think when they hear that I'm a Jesus freak? What will people do if they find that it's true?
Hey, what's up? This is Toby Mack with news of another real-life Jesus freak.
Every year, Christians are laying down their lives for Christ. Each death is a loss and a victory. As Paul wrote in Philippians, to live is Christ, and to die is gain. Still, we grieved at the voice of the martyrs when we heard that on July 1st, four gunmen pushed their way into the home of Muhammad Yusuf Bhatt and shot him to death. He was a friend and a vibrant voice, sharing Christ with Muslims in Kashmir for more than 15 years. He leaves behind a wife and three children. Will you join in prayer for the family and legacy of Muhammad Yusuf Bhatt? For more, go online to persecution.com.
We hope Pastor Ham's message blessed you, and if you'd like a copy of this CD, please send a donation and a self-addressed envelope to P.O. Box 893, Winfield.